this girl.
All right, guys. Wow. Welcome to the first ever episode of Silver Linings with Lojo. If you don't know me already, my name is Lauren Jones, but all my friends call me Lojo. People always ask me why, of course, but my freshman year roommate, she was Lauren as well. And if you know UNC, literally almost everybody is in-state. And she's from Raleigh, so she already knew a ton of people going in, and I did not want to walk into everywhere and be like, "Hi, I'm Lauren. Hi, I'm Lauren." That's like absolutely horrible. So instead, I took up the nickname that I had during lacrosse during high school, and yeah, it's Lojo. And yeah, I'm originally from Tampa, Florida, and I'm currently a sophomore here at UNC. So the whole purpose of this podcast is it's called Silver Linings with Lojo because I kind of wanted to play on the whole sort of irony of my purpose is to find the silver lining by deconstructing the gold standard. So you're thinking like, what the hell is the gold standard? So originally it's kind of like represented by a fixed value. Like that's what it was supposed to mean. But nowadays it's kind of relevant to like a fixed set of values. So it's sort of like in my opinion, it's like the expectations that people are supposed to meet. And that's sort of relevant. It should be like relevant to the average person. But nowadays, all of our expectations, they're so elevated that they're set to that of perfection. And that's obviously not attainable. We're not perfect people. And if we were, we would not be as much fun as we are. So my whole thing here is I want to take different things that I think are gold standards. So I'll go into it as the podcast goes, but I want to take different things and just deconstruct them. So all the expectations that we're supposed to meet and everything, I want to take it and then find sort of its silver lining, so to say. I want to find the truth behind it, take the things that I think are good that exist within that standard, because there are good things within that, but I want to find the silver lining. Being honest, I've actually been thinking about this for, I'm not even kidding, months. Some of the stuff you're going to hear, it's probably been in my notes. I like made a little thing on my notes, and every quote I had like thought of or found in a book or even like TikTok or something, I put in my notes, and I was just so excited to share it, but I didn't know how. So I did this thing called productive procrastination, and I've completely made it up. But what I do is instead of, if there's something I want to do and I want it to be really good, whether it be a project, whether it be a personal thing like this, or even just like something with a friend, rather than doing that thing specifically, I do a whole sort of like neglecting the concept. So in order, because I like my whole thing behind it is if I do something immediately and if I put my entire heart into it, then if it doesn't turn out the way I expect it or the way I want it to, I have a whole episode I plan on filming about this, but if it doesn't turn out the way I perfectly want it to, then I feel it as like a sign of failure. So instead, I keep deflecting it, keep pushing it off. And at that point, it's like I'm doing it last minute. And therefore, if it's not as good as I wanted it to be, it's fine. Because like, you know, I did it last minute. And so yeah, productive procrastination, would not recommend it. But this week, I've been very productive because, of course, I've been procrastinating this. But I made an entire Notion page. I've never heard of Notion. It's like this beautiful way of organizing notes, like literally anything you probably think of. It's like so beautiful. So instead I made this like fancy ass Notion page, like breaking down all my concepts, all of everything, just so I didn't have to like sit down and actually film it. So I'm actually here. This is probably, I'm not even kidding, my fourth take or something, maybe sixth. But yeah. So on this Notion page, I have written that with this podcast, I hope to take these gold standards and deconstruct them, find their silver lining, so to say, shedding a new light on cladded concepts. And the intro music, I even picked that before I began recording, but it's from one of my favorite movies of absolutely all time. It's a Good Will Hunting quote. It's like a long thing at the beginning, but I only chose the very end because I didn't want y'all to hear just the random sound. But what it is, it's the professor, and he's played by Robin Williams, who also amazing actor, is telling Will Hunting, the student, if you haven't seen the movie, about the moment he fell in love with his late wife. And it is such a powerful moment for me. If you've ever heard, you might have heard it somewhere else, but it's like, it's like the Holy Moor goes, Jesus Christ, you know the fucking day? And it's like, yeah, it's about like a baseball game and they like met at a bar and this whole thing. But yeah. So one of the quotes that I had in my notes is a Zach Bryan. He's one of my favorite artists as well. You're going to like, a lot of the stuff I'm going to say comes right from the heart. And it includes a lot of stuff from my favorite artists, favorite movies, favorite books. Super into all that. If you ever want to talk to me about it, I'm totally here for it. But the quote is, if I meant for anything, it's to show you you're not alone. Come as you are, however broken, and we will see if we can make you whole again. And that's what I want to do with this. I want to give people a place where they feel less alone. I've always felt a little insane in my own mind. I actually got diagnosed with ADHD last August, so being diagnosed with ADHD at 19, and of course they had to add a little sprinkle of anxiety and depression in there, because as you do, but I never realized how much it affected me growing up, especially not knowing, and never being able to sort of identify with something. I always just blame myself for all my problems, and now that I have something fixable, something where I realize I'm not alone, like everyone that speaks out on TikTok, I've read so many books about it, it's just made me feel that this is something that I can take control of. I don't feel lost. And yeah, before that, I'm gonna be honest, it was really rough. I had a hard time coming to college because no longer did I have this fixed schedule. In high school, I'm not even kidding, I'll read you my college essay at a different point. It's just about how much I filled my schedule and how I had to literally, specifically a lot times in my day, just so I could sit and think. And that's what I want this to be. And actually, like, I was talking to Ellie Grace, this was on Tuesday, I guess, and she goes, honestly, it's so fun to just hear you speak, hear you think, because you're one of the only people that sort of thinks the way that I do, and your brain is just always all over the place. And a little joke I like to make is I'm just like a shit show trying to keep her shit together. But as I was saying, as a college student, high school student, young adult, it's so easy to fall into holes during transition periods. And this is something I heard once while I was at a Best Buddies conference. That's a wonderful organization if you ever want to be a part of it. But it was, empathy isn't looking down at someone in a hole and being like, oh shit, that sucks, you're in a hole. Or oftentimes, in order to try to relate to that person, you yell down at them in that hole, you explain about a time that you were in that hole, and as the person in that hole, usually it just makes you feel a whole lot worse. And it's so well-intentioned too, so you feel bad being like not enjoying their advice. But what they said at this conference, it's like it stuck with me for a very long time. And it's, empathy isn't looking down at that person in the hole, it's jumping in that hole with them. And that doesn't mean you have to like be depressed along with them, but it's just getting in that hole and being there. The presence and having someone with you and trying to pull you out, and you're working together to get out of this. Rather than looking down at them, it's a collective effort. And I want to be that person who jumps in the hole with you. That's what I'm really going for. And it's so weird because I'm getting chills while saying all this stuff, because I was so nervous about starting this. People can be really mean, I'm not going to lie, especially when it comes to sort of personal or creative ventures that you're doing and something sort of out of the norm. So I have been really stressed out about it. Just nervous. I don't necessarily care what people think about me, but it is human nature to want to be liked. And I also have an episode on that and sort of like the flaws behind that ideology. But yeah, I really struggled the past year. Like coming to college, it was rough, especially with COVID. I literally got kicked out of my dorm and I had to move in with 3 random people. And during the getting kicked out and having to move in with those people, I had COVID. So I wasn't able to, I didn't want to give it to them. So I ended up being like casually homeless. But one of my best friends, Mia Guthrie, literally we had probably met, I don't know, we actually met in Tampa because she was visiting family. But I met her 2 months ago and we just decided to go to the mountains together. I have all my stuff in my Jeep. I cannot like see out the back window. Everything from my dorm's in there. And we go to the mountains and it was so much fun. And then I moved in with 3 random people. They all ended up being fantastic. And honestly, they were all gone kind of the time, a lot of the time. So I ended up fully having like a 4-bedroom apartment to myself, which is kind of cool. But I am still struggling into growing into the concept of who I am. And that's definitely something that everyone struggles. You never quite feel comfortable with who you are. That's what I've noticed. No matter, you can always radiate confidence. You can always grow in your confidence, but it takes a lot to sort of grow into yourself. And you're never done growing. You shouldn't be. So Emma Chamberlain sort of was a big inspiration when it came to this. I remember there was one morning and I get really bad test anxiety. Like, I'm so does everyone else, but I have a hard time. I thought it was because of my meds, but I think it's just because I've been nervous this past semester, being in person and having real school and actually pursuing my major. I'll get into that in a little bit. But there was one morning, and I usually wouldn't fall asleep until probably, it was hard. I would literally sit there with no, like nothing, not my phone, nothing. I would just be sitting there. I would usually play, if you ever heard Claire de Lune, it's like they do like a piano song, and, or it is a, I don't know what the word is. I'm not very musically inclined. But yeah, I found this version on Spotify and it had rain in the background and it was lovely. And it was a great way to attempt to fall asleep. So I would set a little sleep timer, and sometimes I would set the timer for 2 hours and still I would, the music would stop. And I'd be like, fuck. Like, I've just been laying here with my own thoughts, driving myself insane, running in circles, just everything you do when you go to bed. But it would last forever. So there was many nights where I would even pull an all-nighter just because I got stuck. And so the sun would start rising. And that's exactly what happened this morning. The sun started rising. And at that point, I knew I had to shower. I still wanted to study a little bit more for the test. I was like, shit. So I just pulled an all-nighter on accident. But, so I was kind of freaking out because obviously your brain processes things while you're sleeping. So that's not the best headspace to go into an exam. An exam wasn't until, I think it was 2 o'clock. But I was like, okay, might as well take advantage of the day, still have fun with it. So I put on my record player. It's one that I thrifted this semester. It's really cool. I really like it. I put on my Beatles album that I had, and all of a sudden, a giant rainbow appeared out the window, which, fucking cliche out the ass, but it was beautiful. And it genuinely made me feel a lot more comfortable with the day, and it helped me regain this sense of composure that I felt like I lost while I was sleeping. Or lack thereof, actually. I was not sleeping. But I had to take a shower, and I usually put on music. But I had heard an Emma Chamberlain quote from her podcast on, it was probably TikTok. If I make a TikTok reference, like, please don't judge me. I think it's, like, a great way to, like, TikTok in general, I feel like it's a great sort of outlet. Like, you see what people prioritize. It's kind of funny too, because I feel like all of the trends and everything, it always rotates around the same 3 basic concepts. And it's like breaking up with someone, or like romantic love, like that kind of falls within the same thing. But or like being drunk, or I don't know, success, like random things. I feel like it's always, everything just rotates around, and everyone presents it in a different light. And that's literally coming from someone who had a TikTok go semi-viral for making a joke about drinking. But I put on her podcast, and she just had a way of taking everything that I was thinking, everything I was afraid to say, and put it into words. And that's what I want to be for some of y'all. And I know everything won't resonate. You can pick and choose what episodes, and I'm sorry if they get long sometimes. I don't have a very, as I was saying before, I don't have a very, like, one-track mind. I sort of just go in whatever thing I'm going on. Exactly, that didn't even make any sense. But yeah, so when I told one of my friends that I was planning on doing this, and I read her some of the stuff I had written or some of the metaphors I derived, she goes, oh, so you're just giving therapy to yourself. And I was like, damn, that's a bit harsh, but you're not wrong. Like, whoops. But I'm hoping in the same way I can give y'all a little bit of therapy. If you need therapy, do it on your own. Like, go get somebody. I can help you with that, need be. But yeah, I'm just hoping to make you feel like there's someone out there who thinks the same way as you, or even thinks differently, and will give you a new perspective, or question your original values. Question that gold standard, of course. But that's the thing. If I can make someone else out there feel just a little less insane, why not? So some upcoming episodes,
I have planned. They're not even kidding, probably 15 on the Notion page, but they include catch-up culture, stupidity of resolutions, like breaking down the ideology of romantic love, and literally dozens others. I have so many ideas, so many things. I don't even know if I can make a full episode out of stuff, so I might do like bits and pieces depending on what I'm feeling that day. And who knows, I might get inspired by other stuff too. And if you have any ideas, I would absolutely love to reach them or love to hear them, so please reach out. And just like DM me on Instagram, whatever. If you do that, I'll give you my number. I just can't put that on the internet. But yeah, I'm really excited about this. And just for context purposes, sometimes I do speak like a fourth grade boy who just learned what Urban Dictionary was. So I'm sorry, I literally had to put it like an explicit thing on the Spotify page because I just might casually randomly drop. I don't even know. Randomly, I've been saying "sharp my balls," which horrible. That's like I don't even know where that came from. But hopefully, I lose that one soon. I like develop catchphrases and then I keep losing them or keep using them until finally I find a new one. And I need to find a new one ASAP because that one's absolutely horrid. But yeah, as I was saying earlier about the TikTok stuff, I feel like it's not only a great representation of our generation's values and priorities, but it's an even better representation of our insecurities. And I have multiple episodes planned out about, like, I'm trying to put it into words. There's so many of them, but there's one I have on sort of ED culture and the concept that in order to grow as a person, you need to like diminish yourself as a person, sort of like that inverse relationship between weight and growth, which is that one really pisses me off. And I have so much to say on that topic. I have another one on mental health, and I'm planning on attaching so many resources to that and hope you guys all know that I'm an outlet for absolutely anything. I literally made this so I can just talk. So I would love to talk to someone personally. I don't just like sitting here in my room talking to myself. I feel like a friggin' weirdo. But yeah. And a lot of stuff happened at UNC this semester and or last semester, I guess it's winter now, but it was a lot. It was a lot for a lot of people, and I always like almost cry when I talk about it, but it was such an eye-opening thing, and I hate that we had the weeks in the second. If you don't know context, I will give it in one of the episodes. But when we removed the chairs, something just like changed in me, and I knew I needed to, not me personally, but just as a whole, we had to continue these efforts. We can't lose them. Just because we took away the chairs doesn't mean that we've lost all of the love that we experienced within those few weeks. All of the love, all of the loss, everything with that. So yeah, moving on from that deep stuff, I wanted to talk about me a little bit. That's the purpose of this episode. I'm not trying to touch on anything too deep. I will get into specifics and other things, but I want to do a little bit about me. I just want to give you the goals and sort of my why UNC, which I think is a big thing that people always ask me. But okay, moving on. Before college, I went to an all-girl high school, and this is something I think was really funny because I actually didn't visit UNC before I came here, which kind of makes this upcoming story kind of pointless. But for anyone about to go into college, I did this thing, and I called it AirPod theory, and it's something I invented. And I'm such a firm believer in the people make the place. So when I went and visited colleges, when I was walking around with my dad or even with like friends or something, I paid attention to how many people were wearing AirPods when walking to class. Because like full-heartedly, I thought there was such a strong inverse relationship between the number of AirPod wearers and student friendliness and correspondingly happiness. So I wanted to go somewhere where you aren't just going to class to go to class. As you walk down, you get to say hi to so many people. People are always friendly, and that you'll always run into someone that you get to walk with, that you want to talk to rather than just isolating yourself. And it's funny because I didn't visit UNC before I came here, but I really have noticed that that is the community here at UNC, and I could not be happier about it. And I've actually never found a place where I felt more at home. And that's just kind of bizarre, but yeah. And so actually, another why UNC is, oh my God, there are people, it's fully snowing outside and there's people jumping in the pool. Casual, of course. But my pop and my Nana went here. They got married at 18. They lived in Kannapolis. And what I think is, if you know me personally, you know I broke both my feet first semester of college. And I was in the hospital and I'm on the phone with my Nana. And she goes, oh, like what hospital are you at? And I'm like, oh, just like the UNC, like emergency, whatever. And she's like, oh my God, that's where I had my first kid. And in my head, I'm thinking, damn, we're at such different like sort of paths in our lives at the age of 18, 19. And I just think it's hilarious because my pop and my Nana, they raised their first kid here. And my pop was a religion major. He wanted to be a preacher, but ended up going into pharmaceutical sales. What the fuck? Yeah. But I feel like that's honestly what happens to a lot of us here. We find something passionate about, we study it, and then we realize once we get in the real world, there's actually so many more things that we love, and then you should never stop pursuing your passions, finding those things that just, as cliche as this sounds, like setting your heart on fire. And yeah, so I could not be happier where I am right now. And coming into UNC, I actually started off as a neuroscience major. And during high school, I did a lot of stuff with Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. One of my friends and I, we started a team for their Student of the Year program. And if you don't know what that is, it's a 7-week-long program where we led a group of sort of like high school students within our area in order to raise as much money as we could for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. It's also a competition, so you're competing against a bunch of other different teams. So we led that for its first year, and we ended up winning. And since then, the team that we created has won 2 more times, and they're entering their 4th year right now. I'm really excited for them. But within those 3 years, within those 3 7-week time frames, we ended up raising over $300,000 for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and have named 4 research portfolios. And it's something I'm really, really proud of too. And also during high school, I worked with Moffitt Cancer Center. So I worked with the only integrated mathematical oncology facility in the entire world. And if you don't know math, or even if you do, you're probably thinking, what in the world is that? So what we sort of did was take in all of the variables that could possibly go into tumor growth, and we utilized multivariable calculus in order to sort of see the effects of these tumors. And yeah, it's if you ever want to talk to me about it, it's really, really interesting, but it sounds bizarre when I bring it up. But it was the only facility in the entire world that did it, so I thought it was really cool. So I wanted to be a pediatric surgical oncologist, which pretty much just translates to a kid's cancer surgeon. And I keep saying and. I don't know how to complete my sentences. I don't know how to keep my thoughts. That's fully such a metaphor for the way I think. It's not a train. It's just, oh, I don't even know. But so I was in a Chem 102 breakout room, and this is one of the funniest stories I think I have from UNC, and it's fully not a reflection of UNC as a whole. But I was in this breakout room, if you know breakout rooms, no one ever speaks. It's so awkward. But I genuinely, like, I wanted to talk about the concepts. So I have my camera on, I have my microphone on, I'm the only one with that. And I'm talking, I'm trying to explain my thought process behind one of these answers. And it was probably my 4th or 5th time with this specific group. And then again, I was the only one that turned on my camera and spoke every single time. So at this like 4th or 5th time, some girl turns on her mic and goes, yeah, by the looks of you, you're definitely wrong. And I'm sitting there, me just like fully just woken up. I'm not looking good, so I don't know what was the thought process behind that statement. I'm not sure whether to casually take it as a compliment, but I'm sitting there. This is another insecurity I have. I feel like I radiate stupidity And I don't mean to whatsoever. I think I just really try to make people feel comfortable. And in a way, I sometimes get derogatory towards myself. But yeah, I sit there and I go, okay. I'm trying so hard. I'm such an emotional person. I also have an episode on that, on like the power of being emotional. But I literally am sitting there. All I want to do is start absolutely sobbing. But I just kind of smile and I keep talking about the next answer. And I was fucking right. So I'm like, bitch, okay. So that was the final straw for me. And I've never been a person who quits things casually. I'm honestly, like, I feel like a good way to describe myself would be I'm very intentional, or at least I attempt to be. I don't join a club. I don't join an organization just to casually be a part of it. If I join, I want to be a leader. I want to make a difference. I want to do the best I can. Even if I'm just a member, I want to really be a dedicated member. So when it came to me changing my career path, I fully saw it as a sign of failure. I have another episode on this. It's, as I was saying, like the stupidity of making goals or resolutions. That's the word. Goals are great. Resolutions. But like goals always have to be flexible. You can't just think because you change your mind about something, because your heart's not fully in it, that's failure. It's fully not. That's just a sign of your maturity. That's a sign of your growth. And it's really impressive when that happens. But at the time, I did not feel that way. But now I am majoring in computer science, I'm minoring in data science, and I'm hopefully going to pursue a minor in entrepreneurship. And I absolutely love it. And it's opened so many doors. And I couldn't imagine being this passionate about organic chemistry. Like, fuck no, I don't even know what that means. How is there also non-organic chemistry? I'm not behind it. But yeah, now at UNC, I'm currently the vice president of ADPI. I'm a part of App Team. And on App Team, I am the chief marketing officer. And what App Team is I have found it to be such a fun environment. So we're learning, it's one of the only iOS development teams in the entire United States. So we're learning the sort of the programming language behind making apps. We get to make our own, we get to add features to stuff other people make. If you want to hear about what our production team, so those are the people that are better at it and not just learning, they have created such great stuff that's like truly going to change the world. And I've been loving it. But yeah, in addition to that, I do some environmental research at Gilling School of Public Health, which is the public health school here at UNC. And in the future, I hope to be sort of a manager of software engineers, which I honestly don't really know what that means. But my big joke is my job doesn't exist yet. Technology is changing all the time. And so I'm hoping that like once I get to my actual position of where I want to be, that it doesn't exist right now. It's going to be something totally awesome, totally cool, and then I get to define for people in the future. And I also hope to improve business sustainability standards. That's sort of what my research is doing now, if anyone ever wants to talk about that. And something super random is, as a retirement project, in high school, I lived at coffee shops. I lived so far from, like, my school and my home were about an hour apart. So in between theater practice, lacrosse practice, cheer, LLS stuff, meetings, I don't know, research, like, I couldn't just casually drive an hour home. So I would fully live at coffee shops. And so in the future, I want to open something called a Bloomin' Brew, which is just a concept I made up, and it would be a coffee and flowers shop, and I wanted to call it Sunny Side Up. It's something I've literally just thought of for so long, and I think it would be really, really fun. In a perfect world, it would fully be on the beach. There would also be, like, surfing and its own sustainability garden, which is, like, redefined, sort of, I don't know how to describe it, but, like, restaurants and, like, yeah, you know what I mean. Kind of, hopefully. But that's just a little fun thing I want to do in the future. So right now I'm just going to fully just spit out some fun facts about me, just so you can try to get to connect with me. I hope you connect with my voice and that sounded kind of creepy, but connect with my ideas, and I hope you really get the most out of this. I'm trying my best here. This is the first episode, so I'm kind of all over the place. But yeah, some fun facts. Just going to fireball them? No, that's an alcohol. Spitfire? No, that's an adjective. I don't really know. But my 8-great-uncle was Benjamin Franklin. Funny story, my mom actually once recorded an episode on History Channel for me to watch. I was probably 7 at the time. And she was up late one night and decided to watch it before I watched it with her. And it actually ended up being about how he used to go to France all the time and visit all of the, for lack of a better term, and this is what they refer to it in the thing, but like the whorehouses there. And she was like, oh my God, if I had shown this to my 7-year-old about her 8-great-uncle, it would have been fully so awkward. But my high school religion teacher taught Channing Tatum. My grandpa was a nudist who was actually in Sports Illustrated. Yeah, there's a picture of him and two of his buddies naked golfing. They were in fact wearing high socks and shoes, which I don't know if that makes it worse or better, but he was in Sports Illustrated and he got famous in Britain on a greeting card. And another fun story is, or somewhat traumatic story, is my mom was once at work and her boss comes in and is like, Amy, look at this hilarious card my friend who lives in London just sent me. And she looks at it and she thinks, oh my God, you know what makes this so much better? Or like, in a way, so much worse. That's my dad. And so, yeah, he got famous on a greeting card for being, yeah, that's a lot to unpack. But there's also a Christmas version, and it was named Frozen Balls. So, yeah, if you ever want to see my grandpa naked, they were like holding golf clubs, so you couldn't see their weens. But you do see his ass cheeks. I don't know. But yeah, I was also a mall Easter bunny. I was asked by the lady to come back and help with Santa, but that was a lot for me mentally, so I decided against it. I was also in Florida, but I'm a huge Harry Potter and Marvel person. Right now I'm reading this book on the science of Marvel and 100% recommend. It is super cool. And I'm also taking a class on like physics in medieval times, and it's sort of built on the concept of, I don't really know how to describe it, but like the medieval multiverse. So it's really cool. It's really fun. But it's also really weird. But I have that. It's taught by like the dude who's second in line to UNC, which I think is so dope. He just like casually dropped that. We're all sitting there thinking, what? Because we fully just took it for like a gen ed. But my family found in Nantucket. If you've never heard of Nantucket, it's a little island off of Massachusetts. Joe Biden was actually there for Christmas. But one of my goals in life is also to buy back the house that my great whatever grandfather built. I just want to keep it in the family. We had to sell it, but I really want it back. That's one of my main things. And luckily they renovated it, so it made my life a little easier once I hopefully make my money. But weird enough, if you've ever seen Charlie Brown or like Snoopy Thanksgiving type beat, you've actually seen my 10th great grandfather. He was the dude who fell off the Mayflower. And I would like to say my clumsiness came from him, but it is, I guess, at this point, 12 generations back, so I'm not sure if I can use him as my scapegoat. But his name was John Howland, if you ever want to look him up. I think it is a hilarious story. I'm actually related to 12 out of the, I think it was 102 people in the Mayflower. So you can thank me for the creation of America. Ooh, not the flaws. Actually, what happened? Don't blame. Nope, that wasn't me. I'm taking that back. But my random thing, my brother and I have a birthday that's one day apart. So I was 3 years old, and not to get morbid, like this is not like a sad thing. My mom was perfectly fine. But my mom was not supposed to have my brother because she had such a horrible pregnancy with me and she almost bled out. And it's a whole long story. I don't want to get like sad or anything. It's not sad. It's fine. She's fine. But so she was not supposed to have my brother, but she did not want me to have only child syndrome. I'm sorry if you're an only child. This might not apply to you. It usually does. But it was 3-year-old me. And this is probably part of the only child syndrome and probably why my mom didn't have my brother in the first place. But it's 3-year-old me absolutely bitching out the doctor at fully my mom's bleeding out on the table. I'm like, I don't want to share my birthday. Like such a complete brat. But we do not, in fact, share the same birthday. 3-year-old me prevailed. And so we are 3 years and 364 days apart. And I absolutely love my little brother. But it's really funny because a bunch of bad things always happen on our birthdays. And it's even like just me personally, there was the Boston bombing. And A bunch. It's also tax day. That's horrible in its own sense. Emma Watson was born on it, so like that kind of offsets it. Like being birthday twins to Emma Watson, fucking awesome. But yeah, the Titanic hit the iceberg on my brother's birthday. It sank on mine. Abraham Lincoln was shot on my brother's birthday. He died on mine. It's just, it's very, very bizarre. But yeah, another fun fact about me is, let's think. Okay, I try my best. People like sometimes like joke around with me about it, but I try my best to sort of dress up every day. Going to an all-girl high school, I had to wear like a little skirt and a little polo, and fully I would get home from lacrosse practice, do my homework. By that time it's 3 a.m. and I would throw my hair in this horrible lopsided bun, literally sleep in my uniform just so I could wake up, because I had to leave at 6:30. So just so I could wake up, actually brush my teeth and then leave. But I just think nowadays what I do is I always try to dress up just like a little bit. Honestly, it's just an excuse so I don't have to like wear makeup and I don't have to do my hair. I fully like wake up, put on a dress, brush my teeth, deodorant, whatever, and I look put together, and it makes me happy, and I think it's fun. And just the concept of honestly like putting on a pair of pants. Ew. Honestly, I don't even put on pants half the time. Me wearing a dress is just an excuse to not have to wear pants. But putting on these outfits has given me this sense of just, if I don't do enough things that day, if I don't stay productive, like, this is honestly just a sign of my laziness. I don't want to take off my pants in order to, like, get back in my bed. So instead, I end up, like, staying productive. And if, like, I get to walk around campus and I'm like, not enough people see me, my outfit's like a waste of my outfit. So I like post up in Davis. Like I fully have a million things to do and I'm doing them, but I feel like accomplished. I'm like, yeah, this is an outfit. And I thought it was kind of funny because some people in my classes, whenever I would attempt to speak to them, they would be like, oh my God, you're the girl who always wears dresses. And it made me happy, honestly. But yeah, that's me in a nutshell. And this is kind of longer than I wanted it to be, but I hope you enjoyed it. And I cannot wait to speak to y'all again. I don't know which episode I'm gonna do first. I have so many ideas. But if y'all have any sort of inclination of like what I should do first, just fully let me know. But it was so exciting to get to do this with y'all. And have a great rest of your day. I really appreciate you.